This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Many police agencies here in Northwest Indiana and in Lake County in particular are now having in their hands a new way to be able to identify and keep drug-impaired drivers off the road. And it's all because of work that the Indiana Criminal Justice Institute has been doing. We have with us to talk about this very interesting project, Devin McDonald. He is the executive director of the ICJI. And Devin, thanks for joining us on Lakeshore Public Radio today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Well, tell us first about the impetus to get these devices, what they are in particular, and how important they are for police officers on the street and in the police departments to have them handy.
Nationally speaking, in Indiana as well, over the course of the last year, definitely through the course of the pandemic, we've unfortunately seen an increase in the number of drug-impaired driving incidents across not only the state, but again, the country. So that was one of the main drivers behind implementing this program. We have a lot of data supporting the use and the efforts surrounding this. The device itself is called the Sotoxa Mobile Testing Device, and it's an oral fluid device, oral fluid testing device, mm-hmm. That tests for six different types of drugs.
What types of drugs can be detected with this device?
So the six drugs that are detectable with the Sotoxa are cocaine, methamphetamines, opiates, amphetamines, cannabis or THC, and benzodiazepine.
As far as you know, based on the state data, first off, what is the situation? Are we finding a lot of motorists that are being stopped by officers, or more of them, maybe we should say, these days, that are being drug impaired as opposed to being just intoxicated?
Your reference with this, so we've had this program for a little less than a year. We implemented it kind of statewide with a fewer number of devices. To date, we've had about 800 different field tests that have been conducted with these devices statewide. Mm-hmm. Of those 800 tests, about 55% of those have come back positive for one or more substance. So that's kind of some insight into the prevalence of the issue that we're trying to address here.
Now, I know this is a statewide program that you're working along with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's Region 5 office on. What do some of the data, at least nationwide, show that the importance of getting these motorists off the road seems to be, especially if they've been smoking marijuana? And in particular, because here in Northwest Indiana, we're bordered by two states that do allow for the sale and use of marijuana.
You bring up a great point there, which is another reason why we chose Lake County in particular to distribute these additional devices. They're kind of uniquely situated in that area between both Michigan and Illinois that, as you mentioned, have recreational use of marijuana that's legal there. Nationally speaking, again, as you mentioned, as far as the traffic fatalities for the year go, we've seen an unfortunate uptick on the number of traffic fatalities. Now, there's more than just impaired driving that has taken part in that, mm-hmm. But impaired driving is unfortunately, again, a very risky behavior that has led to the number of truly increased fatalities over the course of the last year.
Now, these Sotoxa devices that now is going out into the hands of police officers across Northwest Indiana will certainly help in detecting these problems here. But I know that's not the only method that officers and their superiors have to be able to detect any signs of impairment. What's out there that can help stop motorists, get them off the road, and maybe file some charges against them if need be?
Yeah, again, Chris, you bring up a great point. So the officers initially, and kind of how this device even comes into play when a suspected impaired driver is pulled over, is, you know, the officer is going to use their typical training that they have. They're going to look for warning signs for impairment. Is the motorist swerving? Are they weaving in between lanes? Are they making other unsafe turns or things like that they may use to pull this driver over? And then they're going to initiate, if they suspect impairment for a variety of reasons, they're going to initiate one of a couple different other methods to identify, as you mentioned, impairment, which is really what we're seeking here.
Right.
And so, you know, an officer is going to administer a regular standard field sobriety test. If they see physical signs of impairment, they may administer a PBT or portable breath test to test for alcohol. If the officer administers the PBT and it registers all zeros, they know that there's signs of impairment, but then they know that that individual's not alcohol impaired. So then they can elevate into another set of field tests called A-RIDE testing, which is Advanced Roadside Impaired Driving Education Program, where these officers are trained to identify additional physical signs of impairment related specifically to drugs. And so then if an individual does display advanced signs of impairment related to drug impairment, that's when then the Sotoxa would come into play. They can administer the oral fluid test, and within 5 minutes or so, they'll get a positive or negative result on one of these six different categories.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned about the fact that since they have multiple ways to be able to find out if a motorist or anybody in particular that gets stopped is impaired by one way or the other, but you mentioned that being drug impaired is a little more difficult to detect, I imagine, in some people. So you have to have some other way to be able to know for sure, don't you?
Yes, we do.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from the police departments and the officers on the roads, if you've gotten it back to your office, as to how they're reacting to having these devices, Sotoxa machines, available?
We've had really good feedback from the officers that have used them. They really do appreciate the ability to have kind of that, I'll say, non-evidentiary confirming test on the roadside. Because that does allow them to get those folks off the road faster and help initiate, a probable cause for a blood draw. So the feedback has been really good. The devices are easy to use. They're pretty small. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. They're about maybe 10 or so inches long. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. So they're very mobile, very easy to use. So the feedback's been really good from the officers that have been trained on how to use them.
Now, I didn't ask earlier, but I know it's probably going to be important. Will these Sotoxa machines and the test results that come back, the positive or negative, will they be able to go in like with blood tests or with breathalyzer tests to be offered as evidence if a person who stopped and found to be intoxicated with drugs of any type, that illegal drugs in particular, of course, to be able to be charged in court?
No, the results from the Sotoxa tests are, as I mentioned previously, non-evidentiary.
Okay.
So they help develop the probable cause to go for, say, the search warrant to draw blood, which the blood's the gold standard to the test, or to detect levels of drugs within or drug metabolites within the body. The other part is going to be your standard field sobriety tests, or the A-RIDE training or a DRE evaluation. Those are going to be more your evidentiary pieces that can be entered into court or used towards charging. But the results from the Sotoxa, as I mentioned, are non-evidentiary at this time.
Well, I thought I'd bring the question up here in case anybody has questions that they wonder what happens if they get stopped. It's part of the investigation, but it isn't something that may end up being evidence in court, to be sure. Now, with all of these Sotoxa machines going out to police departments all across not only Northwest Indiana, but the rest of the state, how is the state of Indiana being able to pay for all of these?
We're using funding provided to the state of Indiana by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and that runs through the Criminal Justice Institute here. So we're paying for these devices and then distributing them across the states. The devices themselves are actually no cost to the agencies. And we even provide a pretty substantial number of the actual oral swabs and testing cartridges that go along with these. So again, they're really no cost to the agency.
That's good to hear for the police departments and their tight budgets, to be sure. And certainly because here in Northwest Indiana, we are so close to Michigan as well as to Illinois, and the fact that the marijuana in particular is considered legal, you have to be able to check here in Indiana to make sure there are no problems about that in respect here. And Mr. McDonald, thank you very much for bringing us up to date on this information about these devices that are now in the hands of Lake County police agencies, and I hope they can in turn catch the drugs drivers, get them off the road. Thank you very much for talking about this today.
Thank you.
Devin McDonald is the executive director of the Indiana State Criminal Justice Institute, and you're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. People with higher education levels tend to live longer, healthier lives, but some African American kids in low-income communities face obstacles to receive the education they need. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Usery has this story of one man who hopes that football can help keep kids in school and out of trouble.
This big green field at Tarkenton Park in Indianapolis is where Donald Hamilton started to play football at the age of 6. He was coached by his godfather and was so good he'd often play with kids several years older than him.
I was little and it was the biggest kid on the opposite team, and I try to run into him as hard as I can, and I hit him and I fell down and snot was coming out my nose.
Hamilton says football taught him how to rise after a fall and be a team player. That's why he fell in love with the game. Hamilton's in his 40s now, but in middle and high school, he received statewide awards and broke the record for most interceptions in a season. His coaches knew he had a real shot at the NFL, but that didn't happen. He got involved with the wrong crowd, got kicked out of school, and served time for issues involving drugs and guns.
Football was over. I felt like school was over. I felt like, man, forget it, I'm gonna be out here in the streets.
At one point, he got shot in the knee. It happened just a few feet from where we talk now. Hamilton is not alone. An estimated 1 in 3 African-American men born in 2001 will end up incarcerated at some point in their lives. That's 5 times higher than white men of the same age. Why they get in trouble with the law is a much deeper problem, and it has nothing to do with their culture or genetic makeup. And it's more complicated than just bad decision-making. Majority black neighborhoods across the U.S. suffered from disinvestment for years. Children growing up there are faced with issues like systemic racism and criminal justice and crumbling public services, like schools. And research shows a strong link between lack of education and a sicker, shorter life expectancy. Hamilton did eventually make his way to college on a football scholarship, but was kicked out.
I had got in trouble, so I had to go do some prison time, and pretty much I had kids, and, you know, it definitely changed my life.
That pivotal moment, becoming a father, made him determined to do better for the next generation.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass them out today.
Now, he wants nothing more than to help kids in his neighborhood do better than he did, stay out of trouble, stay in school, and have a long, healthy life. And that starts right here, on the field, where Hamilton is known as Coach Nell. Every week, about 100 elementary and middle school kids from nearby practice football for hours at a time. The team is called the Indy Steelers. Coach Nell is like a father to many of these kids. He can be strict sometimes, but that's just part of the job.
Do you guys love Coach Nell?
Sometimes he's mean. I'm going to go off on him, okay?
What does he do when he's mean?
Nah, he be yelling at us and I be getting mad.
And he yell when you do it.
Hey!
Run!
I got you.
The soundtrack to the kids' practice is the coach cheering and the bells ringing from a towering church across the street. Besides the tackles, runs, and throws, he also brings in guest speakers.
All right, real quick, this is Joseph Jefferson, man. This is Baby J. He played Indy Steeler ball, man, long time ago. He's a senior at Pike High School, and he's their starting safety. So he's about to go to college after this season to go on to play football.
And he's got scholarship offers, too. Jefferson used to train under Coach Nell on this very field when he was little. Today, the boys sit on the grass and squint their eyes as they look up and listen to Jefferson tell them that football doesn't last forever.
So education is really important. You go to college, you major in something, and after football, you can pursue that career and make your own money.
15-year-old Tyree says Coach Nell and the team got him out of trouble and kept him from hanging out with the wrong crowd of kids. We're not using his last names, he wouldn't get in trouble with kids at school.
Like, they would go run off and go steal at the store or something, or bully people at the park, but instead of hanging with them, I was at practice with Coach Nell. Like, he taught me football, and he also taught me some life skills, that not everything needs to be in violence, and that you can solve everything just by talking.
Coach Nell says Tyree is one of many.
A lot of them are on the rough side. A lot of them are homeless, pretty much. Friends getting shot, you know what I mean? Parents going to jail, not having jobs. I mean, it's It's bad. It's bad out here.
But it is possible to set these kids up for success.
It takes a little luck, takes a lot of prayer, and it takes, you know, people to be in your corner.
Coach Snell is doing his part, but he's just one person, and this football field can take up so many kids. Change that lasts will require serious investment in communities like Butler Tarkenton, so that all children can live long and healthy lives, no matter their skin color. Farah Yusri, Side Effects Public Media.
Indiana would likely have lost some federal funding had the 2020 census been more accurate. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports that observation comes from a new report from the Urban Institute, a national nonprofit research organization.
No U.S. census is perfectly accurate, but besides the obvious effect of the pandemic, Diana Elliott from the Urban Institute says 2020 was always going to have some issues.
Our country now has more renters and a more diverse population. Factors that make it harder to count the population.
The analysis projects that Hoosiers were overcounted by about 5,400 people. That miscount was largely driven by overcounting white people, more than offsetting black and brown Hoosiers who were likely undercounted. But the impact of that miscount is relatively minimal. If corrected, it wouldn't have affected the number of congressional representatives assigned to the state. And the state would lose $48 million in Medicaid funding, if the census were more accurate, out of more than $10 billion in federal dollars for the program. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
That's it for today on Regionally Speaking. I'm Chris Nolte. Thank you for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, we have conversations with Ashton Lewis from Valparaiso University. Interesting conversation, and the first we're having with him. Plus, we'll speak with a representative from the Veterans Administration about exposure to toxic chemicals. That and more coming up on tomorrow's Regionally Speaking.